Turn your Bibles to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. In this book, the Apostle Paul writing to the churches there in Galatia, there in Asia Minor, they have succumbed to another gospel and Judaism. We believe and understand the apostle has told them about his life. He's dealing with them now in this third chapter, having started off in this third chapter saying, "O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? You've seen the gospel. The Lord has opened it to your eyes. You've been saved by the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. How is it that you would shame God? How is it that you would turn to another way? How is it that you can turn away from the way that the Lord Jesus Christ has given himself?" He says, he uses the word evidently set forth. You've been persuaded of it. You've been convinced of it. You've been shown that. It's been by revelation of the Lord that you know that the Lord Jesus Christ died for you on Calvary. How is it that you would turn away from that to say you need something else in addition to Christ for your souls to be saved? And so we left off last time here in verses number 8, 9, 10. Abraham, as it says in verse number 6, believed God. It was accounted to him for righteousness. We saw here that in verse number 10, that as many as are under the works of the law are under the curse, it says, for as many as are of the works, coming forth from the works of the law, are under the curse. It is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. We took a look where that is taken from over in Deuteronomy as the children of Israel were entering under Joshua's leadership into the land of Canaan, and the blessing and the cursing that was to be uttered by those tribes. And at the end of the cursings there that are listed, that is what is said. And in verse number 11, we see, "But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident." Okay, and so here he uses that word evident again in verse number 1, "before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth." He said, "It is, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for," or because, if you will, "for the just shall live by faith." And if you will allow me, because it is so, we're going to take a look at this point and consider this tonight. If you will allow me, and I don't believe we do the scripture a bit of disservice in this, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, it is clear, it's there, it's manifested in it. "For God hath said, the just shall live by faith." Now, is that the truth? It is. It is. That is where this statement comes from. And so we want to review about this statement, "the just shall live by faith." We want to take a look at where it came from. We have it evidenced here in the book to the churches of Galatia about the reiteration of this, and it's in reference, it's in relevance to salvation. It is by faith that we are saved, faith and not ourselves, faith in what our brothers and sisters or our kin or the world can do for us. No, not faith in those things, but faith in Jesus. And Jesus alone, what he did for me on Calvary and in his ministry and his life and the miracles, all those things that the Lord has done, he did that for me because he saved me. The Lord would have not changed anything about his ministry, about the time of his coming, who he was born to, all those things, the day of his death, his resurrection, his ministering. He would not have changed a thing if there had been only one to come and save. There would have been no different. There wouldn't have been a fast track or a shortcut type of gospel and ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, "the just shall live by faith." Habakkuk, take a look over here at Habakkuk. And I encourage you, as you read the scriptures, and I pray that you study the scriptures, that fifth book back into the Old Testament. Habakkuk, as you read, as you study, and you look into different portions of scripture, get a hold, kind of get an outline, kind of get a mental picture of what a particular book or about a particular chapter or a series of chapters in the scriptures are about. It'll help you. It'll help you to have a handle on it. We reviewed this during the cottage prayer meetings of our last revival. And it was a blessing. It was a blessing to me. I hope it was a blessing to you. And so relative to what we're looking at in Galatians, we want to review this and give some thoughts about it and have some understanding about it. It is the Lord that has said, "The just shall live by faith." Habakkuk here in the beginning of this short book, he speaks, he has a cry to God. He's distressed over what's going on and what's going on in the land and the things that are going on. In verse number 5, the Lord speaks there. And he tells Habakkuk what he is going to do, how he's going to use the Chaldeans to judge his people and to essentially whip his people for their disobedience and that. He lets that known. Habakkuk makes a cry unto the Lord about the wickedness and the judgment that doesn't go forth and how things are lax and how the way of God is let down. And so the Lord speaks and he says what he's going to do. Habakkuk sees there in that first chapter around verse number 12, "Thou art thou not from everlasting, O Lord my God, mine Holy One? We shall not die. O Lord, thou hast ordained them for judgment, not for destruction." There's going to be much destruction that's going to come about, but the Lord is going to have a remnant. He's always going to have a remnant, and that chastisement that the Lord will even use that nation for, it'll be to the benefit of the remnant. It'll be for the benefit of those that the Lord will redeem and that he'll leave in that day. And of course, as we speak about these things relative to the nation of Israel, there may be those that would be spared that may not be saved, but amongst those, there's always those that are the Lord's. There's always those that are saved. And so that principle is there. So Habakkuk sees this that has come upon the people. He pleads unto the Lord. The Lord tells him what he's going to do. And Habakkuk says, "Your plan is great, Father, and it will work." What's happening is Habakkuk is being taken by the Lord, and he's being turned from looking at circumstance to looking to the Lord. That's what we need to do. That's what the child of God, it's incumbent upon the child of God to always keep our eyes upon the Lord. Circumstances will not look good at times. The Lord Jesus Christ is held by Pilate, condemned to death, going to the cross. And on that way, those women that are there, they mourn another man of Israel being taken and put to death by the Romans. And the Lord Jesus Christ says, "Don't mourn for me. Don't weep for me, but weep for your children. If they'll do this thing in a green tree, what will they do in a dry?" If they'll take the King of Glory, if they'll take the Son of God, if they'll take the Savior and do this to him, what will they do when the working of God and the power of God and the blessing of God is removed as it is? It looks bad for the Lord Jesus Christ, doesn't it, from the standpoint of a man? But what if he hadn't have gone to Calvary? What if he hadn't have given his life? What if he hadn't submitted to be buried and then take his life back from the dead? You and I would be dead, folks. Yeah, it looked bad, but was the purpose and plan of God. And so circumstantially, it looked terrible for Jesus Christ from the standpoint of a human, from a man. But it's what you and I needed. We needed him to do that. And so we got to be like Habakkuk, and we got to hear the Lord and listen to him. And so he goes on here, and he speaks. Habakkuk speaks and about these that are there and how they're pagan. They're pagan in their way. And then in chapter 2, Habakkuk says here, I'll stand on my watch. I'll be ready to listen to the Lord. And when he reproves me, I'm going to be ready to listen because I want to hear the truth. Habakkuk wants to know the truth. He does. And so he waits for the Lord. And there in chapter 2, verse number 2, the Lord speaks and he answers. He said, "These things are going to come to pass. It's going to come to pass as I've said and that they will." And then he says, he tells Habakkuk that even though I'm going to take this nation and I'm going to use them to chastise my nation, Israel, I will judge them for their wickedness and their disobedience. That's God, folks. He made the Chaldeans, didn't he? He has every life, and every soul is in the Lord's hand. He does in the armies of heaven and among the inhabitants of men as he wants to. And so he uses that nation, and he reveals this to Habakkuk. And in this, we see in verse number 4 a reference to what's said here in verse number 11 of chapter 1. Let's take a look at this. And then shall his mind change, and he shall pass over. Habakkuk 1:11, speaking here of the Chaldeans, and offend. He says, I'm going to direct this king. I'm going to direct this people to carry out this judgment upon my own people. He says, then shall his mind change, and he shall pass over and offend, imputing this power unto his God. He's going to say that his ability has been that he's been able to conquer Israel. But the truth is, I've given him the power to do it. Okay, and then in verse number 4 of chapter 2, behold, his soul, which is lifted up, is not upright in him, but... Okay, a contrast. Looking at the Chaldean, the leader of the Chaldeans, he says his soul is going to be lifted up in pride. His soul is going to be lifted up in his own way. You that are here tonight and not saved, that's the track you're on. What your soul wants, what you think is right. You won't yield to what the Lord Jesus Christ says, that you're a sinner and you're guilty before God. Doesn't matter how nice of a person you are. You're wicked and sinful before God, and you need to repent and trust and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. You're just like this wicked king. As wicked as he is, he said, his soul, which is lifted up, is not upright in him. But the contrast is, the just shall live by his faith. God speaks that, because that's the way salvation, that's the way spiritual life comes, is by faith. Not this thing of faith that we hold, as many have said to me when it would go into the jails to preach. He said, you just got to have faith. You just got to have faith. I say, faith in what? I said, I don't know. Yeah, faith is not some thing. So not some just you strain and you grunt and you have this thing of faith. Faith is in someone, and it's in God Almighty, and his way, his truth, his word, his will, his way amongst the inhabitants of men. He said, the just shall live by his faith. That's what God has said. Not Habakkuk, but God said that. Because see, God doesn't think the way we think. You know what? If you and I were to orchestrate and organize salvation for the souls of men, we'd have done it a different way than the way it is. Amen? That's right. You know why? Because naturally we're respecter of persons. Yeah. This one's better than that one, better than that one, better. That's not the way God works. The just shall live by his faith. The just shall live by his faith. You know, and there's a couple facets in which that applies. And that's what we want to gain from the scriptures tonight and how it's mentioned there in Galatians. In that passage in Galatians where it's mentioned there, the Apostle Paul, he brings it out again, this account in Habakkuk. He says there, the just shall live by his faith. What's the subject? Salvation. And there in chapter 3, the subject is salvation. That's what's being talked about. Here, this is where the passage originates from, and the Lord makes that statement. And what the Lord is saying to Habakkuk, the one that's going to live through this, Habakkuk, the one that is going to have victory, the one that is going to come through this judgment upon my nation, is the one that has faith in me. So you know what happens on into as the Lord describes to Habakkuk what he's going to do. He say these woes unto the Chaldeans and this nation that the Lord uses, five woes which are written there in that chapter, in the remainder of that chapter 2. In chapter 3, Habakkuk, he then has this poem that he writes, a rambling poem praising the power and greatness of God, praising the greatness and the working of God. That God is in control. God is all powerful. And what the Lord does, it is on purpose. And it is right. And even though to the flesh, it may be offensive, because even the destruction of the flesh and of other people would come about. And as we as humans, I mean, no one ever wants to see anybody else die. But because of wickedness, this judgment has come upon the Lord's nation, and there will be those that will die, from the old all the way to the young. Because of why? Because of rebellion and sin. That's why. Children will die because of the sin of their parents, and parents will die because of the sin of their parents, and all of them will be there, and the Lord will mete out that judgment, but there'll be some that'll be left. And Habakkuk in chapter 3, he goes into this poem that he writes and that he utters before the Lord, praising God. And we end up the chapter in verse number 17. Habakkuk's position is, rather than complaining to God about the way it is, and justice being let down, and judgment being let down, and the word of God not being upheld, and all this misery that's coming upon the nation there, and he grieves over it. It's not that Habakkuk shouldn't grieve over even the justice and the chastisement of God. Well, we will grieve as the Lord's children when the Lord chastises us. We will. But it should cause us not to harden our hearts and harden our necks to the Lord, but that we'd be soft before the Lord, and that we'd seek his face once again in chastisement, that we might be blessed. And so Habakkuk doesn't get all hard. We don't leave Habakkuk like we leave Jonah, do we? Poor Jonah. I pity Jonah. And he's there for our example. The Lord is blessed with a great salvation in Nineveh. And Jonah's more concerned about that plant that comes up and that gourd, and it withers away, and he's wroth about it, and he's just there. He's going to stay right there and bake in the sun out of spite against God and what God has done. God has brought great revival and salvation to the city of Nineveh, and no doubt maybe a spreading in that nation for a time. And Jonah can't stand it. And it's sad. We leave him there. But Habakkuk, he hears the blessing of the Lord. He sees now the hand and working of the Lord. And listen to what his testimony is in verse number 17. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the fields yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. He says, although there be bitterness and emptiness around me, this judgment, this chastisement of the Lord come upon us, and it yield this great famine and dearth of even the sustenance that we need to physically live. What's he say? Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. I'm keeping my eyes on him. I'm going to rejoice in him. Even though all around me looks like it's falling apart, I'm going to rejoice in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hind's feet, like a deer's feet, and he will make me to walk upon my high places. And he takes this, and he delivers it and sends it to the chief singer there on my stringed instruments. He wants it to be proclaimed, this psalm, this poem, this song that he has uttered after the Lord has showed him these things. The just shall live by faith, folks. Faith in the Lord. Faith in the Lord. So we see here the origin of this passage. I want you to turn over here to Romans chapter 1, verse number 17. Romans chapter 1, verse number, actually we'll back up a little bit. And so here the apostle writing to the Romans, the church there at Rome, we believe and understand. He says, I want to come to you. I want to have some fruit among you, he says in verse number 13. He says, I'm debtor to all men to preach the gospel unto them. In verse number 15, we pick it up of Romans chapter 1. So as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. I want to be there. I want to preach the gospel to you. I want to preach the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ to you also. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Hang on to that. Believeth. To salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. That's what God said. The just will live by faith. And the gospel is that in which sinners believe that God did that for me, that Jesus did that for me, because first, I need it, and second, because it's the only way that I can be rescued. And I believe it, that he did it for me. I believe it, that I need it. That's repentance. That I'm guilty, I'm a sinner, I'm wicked, I'm vile, I'm undone, I'm on my way to hell in and of myself, and I need that, and I'm believing in him. Amen. Not it, him, that he did it for me. And the apostle here says, and what's he speaking about? The same thing that's being spoken about there in Galatians, salvation. How is it that sinners are saved? By repentance and faith. By believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. By believing in him and that he's done this. And it says here in verse 17, for therein, in that gospel, that's given for the salvation of the Jews, that's given for the salvation of the Greeks, for therein, in that gospel, is the righteousness, the goodness, the rightness, the perfectness of God revealed from faith to faith. What's that talking about? When sinners repent and believe, and 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 believe, and believe, and believe, from faith to faith. Every time a sinner is saved, the righteousness of God is revealed in the manifestation and the working of the gospel, because there's another sinner that believes. Another sinner that believes. It's impossible for sinners to believe. But the working of God makes it to where they do. From faith to faith. He says here, for therein, in that gospel, is the righteousness of God revealed. It's shown forth. It was shown forth when Caitlin came last week and told about her salvation and that she wanted to be baptized. She wanted to join the church. It was told forth. There's another faith that's manifested and shown forth. She is saved by Jesus Christ, her testimony is. You have been saved by the Lord Jesus Christ, you that are here tonight and saved. And when you proclaimed it publicly, when you manifested it before the world and before the Lord's church, and you submitted to baptism, you declared it. It worked again, didn't it? The gospel and salvation by grace through faith. As it is written, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the justified shall live by faith. The one that's made right in the sight of God, it'll be done so by faith and that work and operation of God, as it says in Colossians. And then we come lastly to a reference to this quote of the Lord there in Habakkuk in Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. And I encourage you earlier in the message, as you read, as you study, take the Word of God and take that and get a framework of what's talking about what in the books and in the chapters and how it fits together. That you might know. When I say unto you Hebrews chapter 10, what's it talking about? What's Hebrews chapter 10 talking about? Can you tell me? Can you tell me what it is? And I tell you what, there we have different times in our life that different passages, different points in different passages come and get focused on more than others. That happens, okay? But what's Hebrews 10 talking about? Do you have anything there? Is there anything that you can give back about that chapter? That's part of what study is about. That's part of what taking and hiding the Word of God in our hearts so we might not sin against Him. We need to be doing that, okay? And so here, this chapter 10 of Hebrews, as we peruse through it, the law having a shadow of good things to come, okay? And the beginning there of Hebrews 10, speaking about the sacrifice. The sacrifices can't take away sins, can they? No, they can't. But then the Lord comes into the world. Amen. A body is prepared for him, it says in verse number 5. Burnt offerings and sacrifices can't do the job. But in verse number 10, it says, we are set apart, we are sanctified through the offering of that body of the Lord Jesus Christ once for all. He's the sacrifice. Amen. He is that sacrifice laid there upon the altar for me. He paid my sin debt. He shed his blood for my sins. He suffered on the tree for me. And then it goes on. He talks about the high priest and how he does his work daily. But Jesus, he did it once, right? He did it once and sat down at the right hand of the Father right now. Verse number 14, for by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. It wasn't one offering for Brother Mark, Sister Cheryl, another offering for Sister Cheryl, another one for Brother Nikki, another one for Sister Sandy, Sister Elsie, Natalie, and so on. It wasn't but one sacrifice for all his people. One sacrifice, not one sacrifice each that did the trick. Because see, the blood of bulls and goats couldn't do it. So it wasn't one sacrifice for each, but it was one sacrifice for all, one time. That's how good the Lord Jesus Christ, his sacrifice is. And so it comes on down here. He says there's no remission. Now where remission of these is, I said no remission, that's not correct. Now where remission of these is, there's no more offering for sin. All right? Our sins are remitted in Christ. From the standpoint of my sin, it does not stand against the eternal consequence. That consequence, that condemnation of my sin no longer stands against me in regards to the eternity of my soul. It's done. It's paid in Christ. It's done. I'm a child of the King. I stand in a different place. Okay? It's not, my soul is not in the balance. So whether I'll go spend eternity in heaven or hell or with the Lord or not. I've been redeemed. I've been bought back. Amen? And I stand as a child, as a son, as a joint heir with Christ. And so now, he says in verse 19, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiness, the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Jesus is the priest. And through him I can enter in. Have entered in. I don't have to have the priest on this earth to intercede for me. It took the priest to offer the sacrifice. It took the order of the Levitical priesthood to order it right and make sure it got done right. No more. Christ has entered in for me. Hey, what's he say there? He says there, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way. He goes on to say here, we've got this high priest over the house of God. Speaking about the church, I believe. He is our high priest individually. He is there interceding for us. He is there interceding and working on behalf of his church. We've been fitly joined together in that habitation, that holy temple, that tabernacle of the Lord. Amen? All of those things working there. He says, let us draw near. Verse 22. Let us hold fast. Verse number 23. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Let us not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Verse 26, let us not sin willfully. Because being a child and sinning willfully, your daddy still loves you. And he'll come whip you because he loves you. We're not over here in the case where the sinner is condemned with no heavenly father that loves him. We got a heavenly father that loves him. We sin willfully. Amen. It's a different zip code to be there before the Lord and sin willfully. And he speaks to them about that. And he speaks about the sore punishment there in verse 29. And the Lord shall judge his people in verse number 30. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God for the child of God. We got to remember who our God is. As the brother's going to go on to tell us, he's a consuming fire. He's not a big sugar daddy. Oh, and he gives us great blessings. He does. But he's still God Almighty. And when John looked on him there in the book of Revelation, he said, hi, Lord, how you doing? Where you been? No, he fell on his face because he says, when I beheld him, I couldn't stand it. I couldn't stand it. He's so holy. He's so great. And he does love us. Oh, but we must reckon who our Lord and Savior is. We must reckon him and elevate him in our hearts and our minds to the place where he is. Isn't that what the Lord did for Habakkuk? He said, it doesn't matter what's going to go on around me. I'm going to look to the Lord, and I'm going to trust in him. And I'm going to know that I'm blessed of him regardless of what is going on here. He says he reminds them of some things and of those things that they endured when they were first saved, when they came to the Lord. And he says, don't cast away, verse number 35, don't cast this confidence, this outspokenness, this frankness, this witness of the Lord that you have had. And he says there in verse number 36, for ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. And what's the promise that we look forward to as the children of God? Living forever with our Savior in a body that'll be bulletproof to sin. That's the way I understand it. And a mind that won't be distracted with the wickedness of the world and the sin of this flesh. Hang on, he says. Endure it. Amen. Let that patience be exercised. Because you're looking for that promise. And what's he say in verse 37? For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come. He won't tarry. Verse 38, now the just shall live by faith. It's mentioned here. What's this chapter been about? Brothers and sisters, this chapter's been about salvation and service. You know how you and I are going to serve? If you and I are going to serve well, you know how we're going to serve? By faith. By believing what God says and putting it to work in our lives. Not just believing what he says, but putting it to work in the conversation of this body. That's how we're going to live. But the just shall live by faith. How do we know that it says this? It's not talking about salvation. It's talking about service. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him, the apostle says. But we are not of them who draw back into perdition. Perdition, destruction, perishing, wasting away. The Lord would save your soul. For then your soul then to be lost and destitute and wasted away? Never. Otherwise, everlasting and eternal is not everlasting and eternal. Right. Amen. Right. And we know how other scriptures tell about us, how he'll deal with us and how he'll chastise us, even to the point of taking us out of this life. But we are not of them who draw back into perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. But perseverance of the saints, folks. Amen. The Lord's people will persevere. Will persevere. Amen. And always remember, as a child of God, be not dismayed whatever betide. God will take care of you. Yeah. That's provision. And that can be chastisement too, right? My daddy used to say, I'm going to take care of you when we get home. Right? Yeah. Be not dismayed whatever betide. God will take care of you. Back in Galatians 3. Back in Galatians chapter 3, but that no man is justified, verse 11, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for God hath said, the just shall live by faith. We live by faith in salvation. We live by faith in service. Haven't we got a great God? Amen, we do. Father, forgive me for when I doubt you. Father, help me learn from Brother Habakkuk that when it all looks like it's all falling apart, and I get the molly grubs, my lip gets to dragging the ground, I get discouraged about things that I think ought to be different, or I wish that, may God help me to keep my eyes on him, amen? When a thing, I think it ought to be this way, and it's another way, and it doesn't seem like there's any remedy for it, may the Lord help me to look to the Lord, amen? Yeah. Because he's in control. When the brother Bert, boy, he suffered a bunch of stuff on the way going home, didn't he? I mean, he did. It would be easy. It would be very easy for anyone going through those things to be discouraged. But we've been praying that the Lord would help him, watch care over his family, got him safely home. Who knows what the Lord has done in all that? It's cost a boatload of money. But is that a problem with God? No, my Bible says he owns a cattle on a thousand hills. The scripture tells me that the Lord will provide for what he wants done. Amen? That's right. And he uses means. The good news is God has got it. The good news is he might use you and me to get it there. Amen? Yeah, that's right. That's right. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, you need Jesus Christ. The just shall live by faith. Through repentance and faith, that's how the Lord tells you to come. It's a command. It's not a suggestion or an optional plan. The Lord Jesus Christ came preaching, repent and believe the gospel. The death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ for your sins, for your souls. Believe in him. He's worthy to be trusted. The saints of God will testify to that. Amen. We that have been saved, he's worthy to be trusted. You can trust him. I know from the human standpoint, the way it is with us, I know the way it is with me. When I look to a thing and I consider it, I want to feel that it's all right before I go ahead and rely upon it. You ever have something structurally and you say, well, I don't know if that's going to work, and you kind of put the test on it, but you can recover yourself? You can't do that with salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to trust him. You can't go out there and test the waters. Try Jesus, Satan will take you back. That's a lie, isn't it? You trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. You take him at his word and believe in it, lay it all on him.